I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, welcome back into our, well, our fourth and final hour of our block of programming that's heard each and every Saturday morning. This part is called More Outdoors and airs from 7 to 9 each and every Saturday morning. We've got features like Hunt Fish Talk. We have the North Shore Fishing Report with Keith Lusher. And we also have a special guest from time to time from the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, whether it's recapping the issues of the Wildlife and Fisheries Commission meetings on a monthly basis, or when certain problems or issues arise, we like to try to get their folks on because they are the agency charged with that very important and crucial responsibility of managing all of our state's natural resources. And today we're talking with you and want to hear from you. Give us your message that you would like to pass to the next governor, if he's elected today, or the candidates, if there's going to be a runoff. We're going to provide them with your comments and questions and concerns and then ask them how they will remedy that situation and get their reactions to it. So with that in mind, you can call it in like Joey did, 504-260-6368, or like most of our listeners prefer to do and send us a quick text message, get it right to the point, 870-870, and I will pass it along. I think something worth bringing up on this program was something that happened this past week with the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. There was a posting that went on the department's website, and the title of it was, What Has Governor Edwards and Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Done Over the Past 4 Years? Plenty. This was a post, and it was a document that was put on the website of the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, and it went on to, well, I'll give you the response was, the question was asked, and this is on the post, what has Governor John Bel Edwards and his Department of Wildlife and Fisheries done in the past 4 years to help maintain the sportsman's paradise? Here are some of the highlights, said Secretary Jack Montesette. And it goes on to list 2 pages of accomplishments and things that the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries did while under the direction of Governor Edwards. Mysteriously, it was only up, I don't know how long, it was less than a day, could have been a matter of hours. However, some people took screenshots of it and preserved it, and I have a copy of it. But it was taken down very quickly, and I think that was over the concern, and I've got some people that are texting me with regard to it, that it was done basically what would constitute a campaign violation, that they're using the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, a public funded agency of the state, to campaign for a gubernatorial candidate, in this case the incumbent Governor John Bel Edwards. And I don't know whether they had gotten from their legal department that it did constitute a campaign violation or that there was fear that it might, but it vanished. It disappeared. Anyway, there was also some other, you know, with regard to the transparency and the missteps, there was also this proposed airstrip, a landing airstrip that was going to be put on Elmer's Island, which is pretty much a pristine barrier island adjacent to Grand Isle, and there were some movements to try to create an airstrip there to provide transportation there. Anyway, it was poorly argued, and it vanished pretty quickly, too, as did the first premature speckled trout assessment report that came out, and then it was taken down and said it was incomplete, and then we finally got another one. But anyway, these are some of the communications problems that Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries has been experiencing. All right, I've still got a lot of text to get to, and Larry Reynolds' name came up. He is the waterfowl study leader for the Department of Louisiana Wildlife and Fisheries. Here's a text comes in from Baton Rouge area. Larry Reynolds won't stand up and claim our duck crisis because that's the hard thing to do. It's much easier to agree with all the experts that don't have Louisiana's best interests at heart. It's much harder to do the right thing and make a stand that take guts and hard work. Remember, this guy is a Californian. Well, I don't know if you can group all Californians together, if that's even a good argument. But, you know, my complaint, I've dealt with Larry Reynolds for a long time, pretty knowledgeable guy. I think he is underestimating this as being a crisis, which it really is. I mean, if you look at the numbers and the stats and the trends and where we've been and where we're going and a lot of these compelling videos and statistical reports that are coming out now, it's got to be a sense of alarm and urgency in getting our waterfowl situation taking some steps to reverse that. The attitude that, well, it's weather-related, and, you know, it's nothing more than that, and there's nothing else we can do. I don't believe that, and I don't think that should be the attitude. And if I know Larry, I think he would take it a lot more serious. I don't know what's holding it back. And, again, it could be a funding thing. But I want to direct you to my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, and look on the homepage where it says worst duck season. Last year, Louisiana had its worst duck season in recorded history. Could this be why? Take 30 minutes to watch this, then make your own decision. It's entitled, Where Are the Ducks? The Real Answers. I'm going to ask you to watch that. I mean, it's pretty lengthy, but it doesn't take any more time than watching a 30-minute program. If you're going to watch your favorite hunting or fishing show or my show, Bayou Wild, that's a 30-minute show. Take the time when you've got 30 minutes or so. Watch this video. There's some real compelling evidence there that arises a lot of questions, and I think those questions need answers, whichever way it goes. And I don't think that the government agencies, either the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries nor the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, is taking it serious enough, nor are some of our organizations that we belong to and have worked hard to help preserve and conserve waterfowl habitat and waterfowl hunting. I'm talking about Ducks Unlimited and Delta Waterfowl, and Flyway Federation is coming on as a new organization and getting involved in it. And, you know, just to ensure that the waterfowl resource is shared equally all up and down the flyway. And I see a lot of evidence pointing that it's not, and it certainly needs looking into, if nothing else. All right, we got some more texts coming in. This one's from Bill. He believes that the commission needs more North Louisiana representation. You know, it's a funny thing about that Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission. For those of you who don't understand how that works, the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries is the state agency. These are state employees. They're biologists. They're enforcement people. They're administrative people. They're all sorts of varieties of talent that work at the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. The commission is the policy-setting body. They are a liaison or a go-between you, the user, the consumers, the sportsmen, and the state agency. In other words, they direct the agency what action to take. How do you get on the commission? Governor appoints commissioners. And the way that they choose them, they try to choose them by profession. They like to get a broad representation of recreational fishermen, people who know hunting, maybe freshwater fishing, commercial fishing representatives, a variety of people who can make good decisions, listen to biological data from the department, urge the department to give them the best information for them to act on, and then they vote. And they vote is based on the information they get from the department as well as from you, the public. They are your commission to contact. Now, the selection of those people is up to the governor. Bill thinks they need more North Louisiana representation. Perhaps, and it might take a legislative change, to actually dictate the makeup of the commission. In other words, how they should be chosen, what areas should be represented. Should you have one from each geographic area of the state, or should they be more along the lines of commercial or recreational, or hunting or strictly fishing? I think that, you know, the commission can sometimes get a little lopsided. And maybe a better selection process is due. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back, get to more of your text, 870-870. Back with them right after this. All right, we're taking calls and texts for our next governor of the state of Louisiana with regard to his Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, the agency charged with the responsibility of managing and protecting our natural resources. If you've got a question, comment or concern for the governor and you'd like to pass that message along for them to hear it and address it on a future show, we welcome you to do that now. I got a text in from Keegan, and this is similar to many of them that I've got, so I won't read each one of them, but he basically comments on open waters for fishing. I'll tell you, our Louisiana Outdoor Writers Association members came up with some questions for the governor's candidates, and I think his Keegan's question fits right in with this, and basically this is how our association worded it. Louisiana is known nationally as sportsman's paradise, but every time an angler leaves the dock to fish our marshes, he or she is breaking the law by fishing or traversing tidal water that is claimed as private. Louisiana is the only coastal state that doesn't guarantee public access to tidal waters. Anglers nationally are discovering this problem and are staying away from our coast because of it. In fact, the nation's largest tournament trail won't come here anymore as a result. Where do you stand on this important issues, and what solutions do you see to it? I know there's been a task force appointed to research it. State Office of Lands, I think, is working on getting some type of a map that's delineating what is public and what is private. And a lot of the problem is that people don't know. And sometimes areas that are not legally private are posted as such and keeping people out. It is a problem. It is a major problem. This threatens our recreational fishing industry for sure. And it's one that the antenna should go up. And I think the next governor of the state of Louisiana needs to get into it full force and really get involved in it. Thank you for that text, Keegan. I got one from Ken. Ken says, cut out shrimp imports and rice imports, access to refuges, and improve infrastructure. Well, that's been a common recurring message for the governor's candidates about our refuges, to improve both the habitat on them and the infrastructure in and around them and access to them. Very, very important. You know, a lot of people say, what good is it to have it if you can't enjoy it? As far as the shrimp imports and rice imports, yep, that's an economic situation. And I think we're seeing a little bit of progress with the labeling of the imported seafood by restaurants and seafood markets that have to clearly identify products that are not from Louisiana, and I think that will eventually go a long way. All right, got this one in from Timothy. He says, hey there, I saw on Facebook where you are looking for topics for Saturday's show. One thing I would like to hear discussed is the public transparency with Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. I have noticed with other administrations and agencies, such as Arkansas Game and Fish, much more effort is taken to interact with the public and discuss some of the hot topics of today involving wildlife management at the state level. It seems like here in the northern part of the state, we never hear much about what is going on or what is being done to help improve our hunting. Arkansas monitors and posts water levels, habitat conditions in WMAs throughout the hunting season, and keeps a website updated with that information. They have several social media pages, such as one for their black bass program that keeps the public informed. I'm not solely trying to compare LDWF to AGFC. I just think Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries could take notes and improve how they go about public interaction. Look forward to listening. Thank you for your text and also for listening, Timothy. And I got to agree with you. As someone who spends a lot of my time perusing websites for information from agencies, I think we fall quite short on Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries website information. I find it difficult to find information. It's sometimes it's there, but it's filed under very hard places to find. I guess the term that everybody uses is user-friendly. Is it user-friendly? And what information it provides, like this information I'm asking for in the turkey program, that should be on the website. You know, if somebody's going to take the time to do the research and have it in their computer, why should that not be made available to the public? I constantly am going on Mississippi and Alabama's, and this listener talks about Arkansas, and you hate to compare one to another, but I think they're doing more with either more or more with less. I don't know. But we certainly need to improve the website. license purchasing on website. Okay, I was talking about my special mystery guest, okay, that we fished with last week, Big Frida. Entertainment, you call him he or she, whatever you like. Believe it or not, not a bad individual, and had a lot of fun, you know, fishing with him. But we figured we had to get a fishing license, okay? Well, we tried to get a fishing license. I have a telephone number, toll-free number, that I used to give out, and people who forgot or were on their way to fishing, you just dial this 800 number, you get an operator, you give them your credit card information, your driver's license number, they process it, you tell them what kind of license you want, when you want it to start, and they process it, and they send you a confirmation number, which you have to present to an enforcement agent should you get stopped. Doesn't work anymore. In fact, I challenge you to find a human being to handle by way of telephone your license purchase. And that should be such a simple thing. Then you can go online and you can do it online. But, you know, that's not always the easiest way. And sometimes you might have, you know, phone communication, but not social media or internet searching. I think it's difficult. We make it difficult to buy licenses. And I think because of that, a lot of people do not buy them. They just said, it's too much trouble. I'll pay the fine if I get caught. So that's another issue. All right. Let's see. I have one here from George. And he says that he is also in very much in favor of the secretary, which, again, without going into the long explanation, the Secretary of Wildlife and Fisheries is not someone who sits in a front office taking dictation and answering phones and greeting visitors. The secretary is the director, the head of the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. I disagree somewhat with George. I don't think it should be a pure politician. You know, we've got these career politicians who have been in office forever. You don't ever remember them not being there. You know, some offices have term limits, which controls that, but others are there forever. I wouldn't want to see that type of a politician, but I'll give you an example. Robert Barham, who, in my opinion, was the most outstanding Secretary of Wildlife and Fisheries we ever had, and he had held a position in the legislature. And I think being there and knowing that legislative crowd comes in handy when you need to get bills passed and you need to get referendums and how to communicate with politicians. So some political experience is necessary, but there's so many other factors that goes into it. And so, again, I will ask, and when we get them on, the governor's candidates or the governor himself, when you make your selection on a secretary, what are you going to look for? The type of person? Who's that going to be? I think it's a question well worth asking. All right, I have another text here from Chris. Chris says, and I didn't know this, that they no longer require at Wildlife and Fisheries a civil service test for promotions. That requirement was removed due to budget cuts. Again, money. You know, money's the answer. What's the question? In some cases, I think you can still do a lot more with what we've got, but the key to expanding the operations and improving the performance that we get from Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries is largely dependent on funding. And I think they've gone to the well. You know, there was an attempt to increase licenses during this administration, if you don't remember that. They wanted to raise license fees and cut the amount of licenses, and they wanted across the board increases. Well, they voted, the sportsmen voted it down. There was no support for it, so they had to go back to the drawing board. And of course, they made budget cuts because of shortfall, or some of the money is mismanaged, misspent. But for the most part, I think there's just a general shortage of it for what we demand as the public. All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, I got Rick standing by. He'll be up next. I got a lot more text to get to. If you want to send us one, it's 870-870. Your message to the governor or the governor candidates: how are you going to change the direction, or make improvements to Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries to better manage the state's resources, whether it be fishing, hunting, crabbing, doesn't matter, whatever it is, we'd love to hear from you this morning. Call 504-260-6368 or text me, 870-870. We're back right after this. And welcome back in on this election day. We have covered a lot of ground and a lot of water issues today. We're asking you to comment on our Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries in order for our next governor to make some adjustments, change direction, make some improvements, hires, fires, appointments, whatever it takes to make our Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries a better state agency. It is so important to you, the sportsman. And we're asking you to voice your opinion, your concerns, and we will pass these comments along to them and await their responses and see how they're going to handle it. Let's go to our live line. We have Rick checking in from Lacombe. Hey, Rick, how you doing this morning?
I'm good, Don. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, I sent you that text a little earlier. I don't know if you read it or not, but I was really doing a lot of carping, if you'll have it, but I really think that if we really want something to change, and I'm just going to speak specifically about wildlife and fisheries, there's a whole lot of other things that could happen that the new governor could do to improve the whole state situation. But the wildlife and fisheries would meet with people like you, hunters like me, fishermen, fishing guides, and so on, to gather information about what we want them to do for us and the state. Create a budget based on those wishes and then compare that to what they have to spend. I mean, I know that you're saying that it's going to be a budget issue. I wholeheartedly agree, and you and I have had this conversation before. You know, lifetime licenses, whenever my grandsons were born, first thing that we did was get them lifetime hunting and fishing license. Well, that takes out the recurring fees that a lot of people pay every year for their hunting and fishing license. Whenever you do that, you trim that budget down. And what happened was it was a windfall whenever they came out with those hunting and fishing licenses. And it was during a time period whenever money was severely mismanaged in the wildlife and fisheries, I believe. But my thoughts are, is you gather groups of people, you know, experts, including yourself, and come up with ideas that we think will improve things. Let them shoot holes through those things and discuss it, but let them keep in mind that, you know, we are the consumers. We are their, you know, we pay their bills. We're also their customers. And I just wanted to say, I don't hold wildlife and fishery agents responsible for any of this, because they're just victims of the way the system has grown up over the years. You know, I've been here since 1992, and there's been so many changes since 1992. The way that the department has been run. Used to be, when at our club, you would see a wildlife agent probably once a year during the season. Used to be this, Don. You remember whenever they had checkpoints where you had to go and take your turkey to get it checked after you shot it. That was a good way to keep track of things. This tagging system that they have now, it's ridiculous. I mean, you know, you and I abide by it, but there's lots of people that just don't have time. And then they make it so that it's, I want to say that they think that they're making it so it's not difficult to do, but for a lot of people, it's just something that they don't have time to do. But checkpoints and enforcement, you know, we talk about tagging deer in Louisiana. It's basically a joke. The tagging system, the way it works now, is there's really no enforcement of it. I come from a state where you had to tag your deer, and they would go to the deer processors, and if there wasn't a tag on a deer that you dropped off there, guess what? There was a fine coming. I just don't think, a lot of things I don't think they take serious enough, and it might be because of budgets, but they really need to go through everything that they do and see what's necessary and what they can do without. And then whatever they can do without, apply those funds to the things that, you know, will improve it for us. And that's about all I got.
Well, you make some really good points, Rick, especially on that license. Not only are we losing the recurring revenue from license renewals, but also the federal funding, the matching funds that comes in. And I think they need to address that. You know, I think you're right. A lot of people jumped on lifetime licenses, and that was a one-time windfall. And I don't know where that money was put, if it was invested to get a return on it. You and I probably know they went through it, and because, you know, leave it for the problem for the future and for the next guy, but we're going to spend it while we got it. And that's been a problem. So it gets back to my main argument on funding. General fund money needs to come in to fund this agency. Other states do it. There's justification for it. They do so many things that benefit people, either indirectly or directly, that people shouldn't be complaining. And then you're right on involving the public more. Use the public to your advantage. Let them become citizen scientists, whether it's turkeys, deer, fish. You know, fishermen and hunters have proven time and again that they are willing to bear the brunt. It's almost self-serving to the point where, you know, you're basically taking care of your own future. You have concern in it. You have a passion for it. So you're willing to work and cooperate with them. You're only hurting yourself if you're not being honest and fair about it. But to be able to use people who are contacts all over the state that could be the eyes and ears for them instead of sitting in an office in Baton Rouge and saying, I don't have the money to send people out into these areas. Well, they don't have to be department people. They can be reliable people with a little bit of common sense that are armed with what the biologists tell them they need to get and give them the right feedback. And then they can make decisions better based, because the more data you got, the better information you got, the better decisions you can make. And instead of hiding from the public and sitting there and sending out decrees of what we're going to do, involve the public. It's the same thing on the speckled trout issue that's fixing to bust loose. Get the people to give their input. Okay, we have a problem. You've convinced us. It's overfished. All right, how do we get from A to B? Give us the options, and we'll tell you what we feel is the best way to do that we can live with. But there's just so little interaction and communication with the public that it's disheartening, and I think that needs to change.
I agree with what you're saying, Don. As you know, we discuss this from time to time, but the biggest thing that I think that the next governor needs to do is a complete audit on the Louisiana budget. And I know Bobby Jindal tried to do this at one time, and I don't know what happened to it. It got sidetracked. But if you make every department prove how they're going to spend their money, you know there's going to be surplus out there. You just know it, because there's a lot of fat in that budget. And especially now, since we've got excess, you know, we've got money in the budget. What are we going to do with that? Who's going to get that? Where's it going? Anyway, I'll let you go. And I know what you're doing this afternoon, so good luck. And I'll let you know if I do any good.
All right. Thank you, Rick. Appreciate your call. Some good comments. That's Rick. All right, if you'd like to call, it's 504-260-6368. In case you haven't caught on, what we're doing is we're acquiring some information that we would love to pass along to the next governor or the governor's candidates, depending on what happens after tonight's election, and let them tell us what their plans are to address those. Here's a text that comes in. Mardi Gras Pass has allowed fresh water to destroy the oysters, shrimp, speckled trout, and now ducks in the Delacroix and Point Lahash area. It's now a mat of water lilies in Sylvania. The oyster grass was replaced with common Johnson grass and the occasional worthless willow trees that die on a high tide. We are past the point of replacing this brackish marsh with a fresh marsh. A few cuts in the river won't work here. It's too late. Plug the pass and dredge pump fill this area. Keep the resources we do have in a brackish marsh. And this is a growing, long-standing argument with different sides. And, again, I'm going to refer to the way that we address this question with our Louisiana Department – I'm sorry, our Louisiana Outdoor Writers Association. Coastal subsidence and erosion pose the biggest threat to Louisiana standing as sportsman paradise. And geomorphologists have determined the best way to fight the problem is to install two large-scale diversions in Plaquemines Parish. Commercial fishermen and even recreational anglers are concerned the diversions will drastically alter their lives while providing negligible benefits. How would you address their concerns? Now, the governor, his agency is the CPRA, Coastal Protection Restoration Authority. They're the ones that came up with and worked on a master plan to restore the coast. And it's painful. And what this texter is saying, yeah, there's a lot of truth to that. And how the governor solves this or arrives at some, you know, it's hard to get. Usually you can work out something in the middle where you make both sides happy. I don't see that happening in this case. I think it's a restore the coast and change its outlook forever and forego a lot of the resources that we have now and become much like many other coastal states instead of having that uniqueness that Louisiana has, or either change direction on the plan and find a way to minimally use the Mississippi River diversions to replace silt as a maintenance, but at the same time have something quicker and more permanent to rebuild the coast. And that is not easy. And then the money, the financial part of it, comes into the equation. And it is literally a mess. And I think the most important thing that a governor could do is work, put the right people into the CPRA, people that he can trust, and charge them with the issue. Tell them what the controversy is going to be and that you need to arrive at a conclusion. And that conclusion may end up with a lot of people not being very happy and some being happy either way. And then again, you're dealing with financial constraints, and that is a huge problem of where the money's going to come to do any of these projects. But honesty with the people and letting them know what's going to happen honestly. Don't tell them that if we do this, this is going to happen, when knowing it's not. Tell them, be honest up front and say, speckled trout fishing is going to be a thing of the past in this area. It's just not going to be the same. Or tell them, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to have the next hurricane wipe our inland cities off the face of the map? We've already lost bays and bayous that had names. They're open water now. They don't even exist anymore, particularly in Plaquemines Parish. But the whole coast is suffering. And this is probably, along with the private versus public, the trespassing issue, probably the number two concern. Maybe this is number one. It's existential in nature. If we don't have a place to work, live, and play, we don't have a place. There's just nothing left. But again, I think getting the right people in CPRA and being able to present to the public the honest conclusions of what they're going to be faced with, then let them make the decisions on what they want to do. All transparency issue, but a lot more to it than that. All right, so here's another question with regard to that. With the budget number exceeding $50 billion and growing, what is the main source of funding for that Louisiana Coastal Master Plan? That's a great question for a governor and one that will certainly impact hunters and fishermen. And I'm someone that just is very pessimistic about having enough money. I don't see it. I don't see the sources of it. I know they're filing lawsuits against oil companies, and that may end up coming back to bite them if they decide, well, if we got to pay to play, we're leaving. We'll go somewhere else. We're seeing some of that happen. They had some BP money. I don't know how far that's going to go. It's way short. The Gomesa money, offshore royalty money, they're fighting for that in other parts of the country and don't want to give it all to solve Louisiana's problem. Coastal erosion, wetland erosion, and rebuilding and restoring the coast while keeping our natural resources. Whew, that's a tough one. But Governor, you know the job's going to be tough when you take it. You know what you're getting into. All right, we'll be right back after this. If we've got time, we'll take a few more of your texts. I'll address some of the ones that I have. And if you'd like to get a quick call in, it's 504-260-6368. It's More Outdoors. I'm Don Dubuque. good Saturday morning on this Election Day 2019. All right, a couple of events I wanted to pass along before I get back to your text messages. The Atchafalaya region of the Quail Unlimited, Quail Forever, that is, asked me to make this announcement coming up on October 24th. They've got their fundraising banquet. It'll be at the City Club of Baton Rouge on North Boulevard. Cocktails begin at 6, dinners at 7. There'll be a live auction at 8 o'clock. It's $125. That includes your membership. And there's also a non-member dinner for $100 and different sponsorship levels. Go to quailforever.org, or you can call John Balance in Baton Rouge at 225-266-1953 and join that Quail Forever. And they'll tell you all about their efforts to raise funds and promote youth gun safety, hunting, habitat enforcement, and education. All right, that's one event coming up, and I had another one, too. I wanted to tell you about that alumni fishing rodeo. Jack Payne down at Sweetwater Marina down in Delacroix had contacted me. He's got the first-ever Battle Between the Bayous, they're calling it. It's a tournament hosted at his Sweetwater Marina. It's set for November the 2nd and includes any Louisiana private, public, Catholic school alumni. The top 8 fishermen will receive cash prizes, plus there'll be a check presented to the first place winner's school of their choice. It's $50 entry fee per person, and if you want more information, go to Facebook and look under at First Annual Battle Between the Bayous Fishing Rodeo, or the tournament page, which is at delacrofishing.com. Should be pretty interesting, a little extra competition there among the schools. By the way, I've got information. I don't have it complete, and I'm going to be researching this, and hopefully I can make an announcement on next week's show. The LHSAA, Louisiana High School Athletic Association, if you recall earlier this year, we had a representative on to tell us the good news that actually bass fishing is going to be a state-sanctioned sport in the state of Louisiana. They had a tremendous response to the queries that they sent out. I believe there were 73 schools that said they would be fielding teams, and they sent us a date of April and asking that we film and with Bayou Wild Television. We do a program about it and help them promote it, and really looking forward to that. You know, now that they have football, baseball, basketball, track, wrestling, tennis, and who knows what else, now you can be a high school bass fishing team member. Should be a lot of fun, very interesting, and I'll get some more information to you on that as soon as I get it. All right, let me get to some of these final texts here. This is another one we've been hearing. This has been kind of recovering this morning for our governors. The refuges are a powerful source, state and federal. We are not utilizing them. Ask why we are not setting up our refuge to attract and hold more wintering waterfowl. Please do their job. Again, there's been a lot of concern about refuges and WMAs not getting the attention they need, either improving or, you know, preserving the habitat, infrastructure, access, all big parts of it. Again, that's places for the public to go. It doesn't require leases, and those public places are a lot of where the people get their first start and get involved in hunting and, for that matter, fishing too. That's from Michael. Thank you for that, Michael. All right, we have one here, says, this is from Mark. I am tired of the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries acting as if the hunting over baited grain fields in the Midwest and northern states does not affect the migration. It is killing the waterfowl hunting tradition in Louisiana, just as the baiting of the Canada geese did 50 or 60 years ago. It's time for the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries to pull their heads out of the sand, go to the Mississippi Flyway meetings, and address this issue. They need to represent the sportsmen of their state and take measures to return the original laws and restore the natural migration of waterfowl. I guess if there's been one dominant topic for the governor to address, it would be the situation about waterfowl. I mean, this is really a waterfowl crisis that we're going through here in Louisiana. The causes, there's different fingers pointing different places, but there's compelling evidence that the migration is actually being altered. And to those who say it can't be done, well, like Mark points out, Canada geese, you know, they wanted to basically prevent them from coming and keeping hold them up north, and there were loads of corn that was dumped, and I can remember seeing the pictures and the video, and they stopped coming. And to this day, they don't migrate. I mean, we've got resident populations, and maybe a handful will migrate from some primordial urge that they've got in their DNA. But for the most part, they ain't got to leave. They ain't coming. They find it in corn to eat, waters that are unfrozen. You know, they're not coming. And, you know, it was purposely changed. And I think there was a really, if I'm not mistaken, I remember a real negative aspect to this, that because there were so many in such a confined area, there was a disease, some type of an avian disease that went through and killed thousands of them because of, they're not designed to be in those close quarters and be feeding and like that. And what that did by congregating them up there was very, very negative. All right, let's see. What else have we got? I think we kind of got through. We'll kind of catch up with them. If you got something you want to mention, still got a minute or so to call, 504-260-6368. Text board's going to be open for you, 870-870. I probably missed one or two here. I'll tell you some other questions that our Writer Association had put forward to the governors, and this one kind of is another one that we've heard from. Selecting and appointing the Secretary of Wildlife and Fisheries, how will you make that decision to appoint someone? That's a great question, because we talked about that is the key position in the state agency that has the most oversight of our wildlife and fishery resources of any agency, the Secretary of Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, and making that choice is going to be very, very important. Other things that we've heard about this morning, the refuge issue is big, coastal restoration. I was surprised we didn't hear more people about the settling the issue of private versus public. That is a very serious threat to our fishery resources in particular. And that's true, that statement that the text has said that, you know, the agencies are not coming, the associations are not coming here. They're putting the word out. They're not going to come put their contestants at risk of being ticketed or disqualified because they were on private land, because it is so difficult to determine what is public and what is private water. That we've got to get a solution to that in the near future. Funding for the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, that has been a big problem, and it's getting worse as license sales decline for a number of reasons. People are not hunting and fishing as much as they used to. There are some programs that, you know, encourage young people to get out, and it is accomplishing and keeping some people in, but we just don't have it being passed down from generation to generation like we did, and that is a serious threat, because the license sales are the life's blood of the funding for Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries in this state, and finding alternative sources of funding is vital, and that's going to be a job for the governor to delegate that job to his appointed Secretary of Wildlife and Fisheries. The governor can also have some say-so with the legislature. You know, that, so a lot of time it's going to take legislative action to get funds put into the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries from the general fund. But with the support, and believe me, there's no group that supports issues that they feel benefit the natural resources and conservation than fishermen and hunters. You get that bunch behind you and calling their legislators and expressing their concerns and what they think should be done, you're going to get some results out of that. All right, that being said, I had a couple of more minutes. I did want to go over something, too, about this, because this is kind of an emergency announcement on the red snapper issue. If you didn't get the word and you like to fish snapper, it's going to be open through tomorrow. That's the first weekend. Reports we got today, kind of rough seas out there. Not sure if you're going to be able to get out there and fish. But next Friday, October 18th at 12:01 a.m., Friday all the way through Sunday night, you'll be able to fish red snapper. Also, the following weekend, October the 25th through the 26th, 27th, those three-day weekends, they estimated that we had not reached our quota, and that's a result of that Lock Creole. I mean, that's something very a wonderful accomplishment that the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries pushed through. Other states have emulated it. They allows us now to regulate our own red snapper, which is so much better than National Marine Fisheries Service. Then there's going to be after that, any other fish that are left over, there'll be an opportunity for some of the wounded veterans with disabilities to get in on that. And if you go to the Wildlife and Fisheries page, you can find information, because you do need to pre-register if you're a veteran and you are disabled and you want to fish in that. Also, got that block party coming up for the BIHNS.org. That's for the Bring It Home, the organization that serves deployed servicemen and their families. A chicken wing cook-off. We have a lot of fun. I'll be one of the judges. It's in Old Town Slidell. Go to BIHNS.org. You can bring your team out there and have a lot of fun, or just come on out and sample all the chicken wings you'd care to eat, and you'd be surprised the variety that's provided out there. That's going to be Sunday, November 3rd, from 11 to 3. That's going to wrap it up for us. Thanks to all of you who participated in today's program. We'll look forward to having you back with us again next week. It's Hunt Fish Talk will be coming up, and Talking Guns with my buddy Devin Burgess. Hope you'll tune us in on WWL FM 105.3 HD2. Have a great weekend, and don't forget to vote.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.